2 weeks ago in Huntersville, a family that you all know very well, the Lekovich family, was going about our regular busy day. JB was running and laughing and playing, and he decided that it was such a great day that he did not need to stop to take a nap. So what he didn't realize was that Mommy had a whole laundry list of stuff that she had to get done during nap time. But as all moms do when plans A, B, C, and D fail, we decided to come up with a new plan. So I had it all figured out. As soon as Jimmy got home from work at 6, he would take care of JB so that I could get dinner going, and then as soon as dinner was over, I could quickly sweep the floors before having to rush out the door for a meeting at 7. Then over in Charlotte at his office, Jimmy is dealing with a brand new boss who prefers to procrastinate all work until 4:45. So he's sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting for a meeting that he has to have, and of course at 6 o'clock when he is supposed to be walking in the door of our house, he's walking out the door of his office. So as you can imagine, both of us are very frustrated, we're tired, and we have nothing left to offer each other. So he picks up the phone, he calls to say he's going to be late, and as soon as he hears the irritation in my voice, he becomes defensive, and that only infuriates me even more. And so instead of coming through the doors to a peaceful, beautiful home with a smiling wife and a happy baby, Jimmy walks in like this. And here I am. I was standing there with my own gear on as well. We are suited up with anger and we are ready for battle. Now, Jimmy is actually across the world right now. He's in Germany, so to be fair, I did exaggerate that story a little bit. He is actually very calm, always, always. So just in case he listens to this sermon, which I got the recorder.
Sorry, Fred.
No one knows.
Okay, here we go. Can you tell he's been out of town for a week? I'm a little scattered. So this situation doesn't always play out in our house, just to be fair, but it does in our homes across all of Huntersville. And for our kids, that could look like you come home from a horrible day of school. Your teacher was mean, you didn't get what you wanted for lunch, you walk in the door, and that is when your big brother or little brother decides to pick on you. So then a fight happens, and then mom's yelling, "Hey, you know what? Stop fighting. Get along with your brother or sister," but you're already in a state where you're just so frustrated that you yell back at her, and then you get into even more trouble. And this scene plays out all the time. And I don't remember the plot of Troy. That's where this movie came from. But Brad Pitt rips his helmet off, and he says, "I want you to see who you are fighting." And I had to stop and think about those words. I want you to see who you are fighting. In the scenario I described, if I had allowed Jimmy to take off his helmet and realized who I was fighting, things would have been a whole lot easier for the two of us. When we argue with somebody, we aren't just fighting that person. You tend to be fighting what happened to them throughout the course of the day. And actually, our fight isn't even against somebody's bad day, bad week, bad month, bad life. It's against Satan. Satan is so often this hush-hush word that we don't use in church or in society. And I sometimes feel like we should call him "he who must not be named," because the mere mention of the word Satan causes a lot of us to sit uneasily. But Satan is real. The force of evil is real and alive and at work in our world today. If you just watch the news this evening, you will see a lot more of Satan and his work than you will God and his. And sadly, this happens too often because we unknowingly give him power. We give him the power when we don't even realize it. And I think by not talking about him, by not educating ourselves on his plots, making ourselves aware of his presence, we end up hurting ourselves. If we aren't aware of his tricks, we fall into the traps that he sets for us. So I'm here to tell you today that Satan is your enemy. He is, in fact, our one and only true enemy. He works by putting us in arguments with one another. He works through pushing us away from God. And as I've been taught and experienced so many times, the closer we draw to God, the more angry he becomes. And that is when you feel him striking the most. And sadly, he begins striking at us when we're really young. Imagine you're in fourth grade. You did really great on a test. You got a 100. You are feeling so good about yourself. Until you go out to recess, and that kid can run a lot faster than you. And all of a sudden, you start telling yourselves that we're no good at anything. Satan knew the right buttons to push, the right doubts to whisper. He continues to attack throughout high school. You get this great new outfit. You're feeling amazing about yourself the whole drive to school. And then you walk into first period, and somebody with an even cooler outfit walks in and sits down next to your crush. And all of a sudden, you sink down in your seat, thinking you're never going to be cool. You're never going to be worthy of love. Satan knew the right buttons to push, the right doubts to whisper. Then he follows you out of high school and into adulthood. You're the mom on the playground, having a great day. You even worked out this morning. You still may be in your sweaty gym clothes, but you worked out with a 2-year-old, so you pat yourself on the back. Until the beautiful mom walks in wearing designer jeans with 5 perfectly behaved children and walking behind her. And all of a sudden, you're this slob who can barely manage one child. Seriously, this should be so easy. Satan knew the right buttons to push, the right doubts to whisper. He gets so much pleasure from seeing us beat ourselves up because he knows that when we are weak, we are likely to strike out at somebody else. We're likely to fight back when someone attacks us. And we're sitting here. He's just sitting there manipulating, and the game of us fighting one another just keeps going on, and we sink further and further away from God. Maybe Satan is attacking you right now. Maybe you're fighting a sibling, a parent, your child, a friend, a coworker, a boss, or even your spouse. My question to you then would be, what if instead of fighting those people, you joined forces and protected one another? What if you helped your sibling through the hard days? How much stronger would your marriage be if instead of fighting against each other, you two teamed up and took on the enemy together, joined your forces and fought on the same side? Isn't that the picture of marriage we all signed on for when we said I do? Isn't that the picture of marriage that God has for our lives? Yes, that would be great, but I know that's not reality. By the looks on your faces, I can hear you saying, yeah, but you know, you don't live at my house. You don't know what this person is really like. You have the whole laundry list of things that they have done to you your entire life that just make you miserable. You don't understand how they scream at me. You don't understand what they say and how their words hurt. The stuff that happens behind closed doors, you just don't get it. And you're right, I don't. I don't know what happens behind the closed doors at your house or in all of your relationships, but you do. So what I want you to do now is I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to think about just one person who has been hurting you more than anybody else. You can either write it on paper if you want to, keep a list in your head, but I want you to list out the things that this person has done, all of the wrongs they have committed against you over the last few years, months, weeks, however often they do it. Just right now, pause and think about that list. with your list of hurt, we're going to go for a visit, and we're going to go spend some time with Miss Clara from the movie The War Room. I want you to put yourself in Elizabeth Jordan's shoes. Miss Clara, in this scene we're about to show, Miss Clara has just asked her to write a list of all that her husband Tony has ever done wrong to her. So now, with your list in your mind, I want you to pretend that you're sitting across from Miss Clara in her living room.
So he needs grace.
Grace? I don't know that he deserves grace.
Do you deserve grace?
Miss Clara, you have a habit of backing me up in a corner and making me squirm.
I felt the same way. But the question still remains, do you deserve grace? The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one. For we have all sinned. So, really, none of us deserve grace. But we all still want God's forgiveness. Elizabeth, it comes down to this. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He died for you, even when you did not deserve it. And he rose from the grave and offers forgiveness and salvation for anyone who turns to him. But the Bible also says that we can't ask him to forgive us while refusing to forgive us.
I know, Miss Clara, but that's just so hard to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But that's where grace comes in. He gives us grace, and he helps us to give it to others, even when they don't deserve it. We all deserve judgment, and that is what all us when we don't repent and believe in his son. I had to forgive Leo for some things. And it wasn't easy, but it freed me. Elizabeth, there's not room for you and God on the throne of your heart. It's either him or it's you. You need to step down. Now, if you want victory, you're going to have to first surrender.
Do I just back off and choose to forgive and then just let him walk all over me?
God is a good defense attorney. Trust it to him. And then you can turn your focus to the real enemy.
The real enemy?
The one that wants to remain in. The one that wants to distract you, deceive you, and divide you from the Lord and your husband. You see, that's how it works. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is stealing your joy. He is killing your faith. And he's trying to destroy your family. If I were you, I would get my heart right with God. And you need to do your fight in prayer. And you need to keep the real enemy out of your home with the word of God. It's time for you to fight, Elizabeth. It's time for you to fight for your man. It's time for you to fight the real enemy. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
This conversation starts a shift in Elizabeth's life. And there's this amazing ripple effect that begins to happen. Because she commits to allowing God to help her turn her fight to the real enemy, her whole attitude changes. Her husband and her daughter take notice, and then ultimately their lives change as well. And yes, I know this is a movie, but this could happen in all of our lives. The basis for what Miss Clara shares and teaches comes from the Word. I'd like to share some tools with you today so that you can walk out of here equipped with the Holy Spirit, ready to fight the right enemy. So let's turn to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be ready, able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Putting on the full armor of God is simple. And whether your fight is with someone on the playground, someone in the lunchroom, over social media, in the boardroom, or behind the closed doors at your house, I promise if you learn to fight the right way, your life will be abundantly full of God's love and peace and grace and blessings. Elizabeth had to start here, and she struggled at first. She really had a hard time to put on that belt of truth. But there's a reason that Paul lists that as number one. Without the truth of Christ, none of the other armor works. Without the truth of Jesus in our lives, nothing else makes sense. And in biblical times, it was believed that the stomach is where we stored all of our emotions. And so that is why Paul says to wrap the truth around your stomach, around the emotions. Satan loves to gain control of our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts. He attacks our weak spots. He whispers lies and doubts that cause us to feel insecure, unlovable, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not manly enough. He stirs up these emotions of hate and anger towards people in our lives. If you're like me, I have had a bad habit that I'm working on of replaying arguments in my mind over and over again. I'll have gotten past a situation and I'll bring up an argument I had with somebody years ago and replay it, and then I feel myself getting angry, my heart starting to race. That is Satan using something from my past. I'm not fighting somebody that I saw 2 years ago. I'm fighting him. So what can we do to physically wrap this belt of truth around us, protecting our emotions and our feelings from the enemy? Memorizing scripture, burying it deep in our hearts and our minds, allows us to fight off Satan's lies because we have the truth. Elizabeth did this, and if you watched the movie in its entirety, you remember how much she struggled at first. She sat in her room and then started organizing her shoes, and she got distracted, and she really had a hard time of creating this new habit. But to be honest with you, how can you expect results if you don't put in any work? If you aren't willing to suit up with the armor of God by taking time each day to intentionally study scripture, to pray, and to commit it to your memory, how do you expect to walk into your life with anything different? And before I get too big for my britches on this one, I want you to know that I struggle to do that as well. Fred had been on me for a long time about memorizing scripture, and I freely admit that I'm just now coming around to this idea. But let me tell you how it's worked. Patty and I tend to be worriers, and that probably frustrates Fred to no end because he works with us the closest, and He's the complete opposite of us. But this week, both 2 weeks, with him gone and Jimmy gone, Patty was my support person. She was my accountability partner. And so together we've memorized Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition, present your request to God, and may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds. So together we're using this scripture to battle the enemy. And if I didn't have my accountability partner there, it wouldn't work for me. It's changed the way that I've gone about my week, totally alone. I've had Jesus fighting my battles for me. Secondly, Paul tells us to wear the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts. Allowing sin to sit and stir in our hearts is like opening the doors for Satan and inviting him and his schemes into our lives. The armor that we have to fight against sin was given to us through Jesus' blood on the cross. He died so that we could protect our hearts against sin, being unforgiving towards people, harboring grudges against people who have hurt you in the past, prevents you from holding this breastplate up and protecting your heart. To pick up the breastplate and use it would mean that you actually have to look at the sin in your life. You would actually have to make changes in your life. If Elizabeth had chose to only look at the hurt her husband caused her, instead of really taking a step back and owning her own contributions to that unhappy marriage, nothing would have changed in her family. Like her, if we allow pride and our selfish desires to fuel our actions, we don't have any defense against the enemy. We give Satan a place to take hold in our hearts, and we can't fight the battle of sin alone. We are and forever will be sinners who live in a fallen world, who screw up over and over again. But that is why the breastplate of righteousness is so important. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you earned the right to protect your heart with this breastplate. So what are we waiting for? It's time to pick it up, examine our hearts, examine our lives, confess our sins to God, and admit to yourself that you are not perfect. That your problems are not the world against you. That you have a part to play in your unhappiness as well. And if you do that, as uncomfortable as that is, I promise you, you will begin to see people differently. You'll begin to view the way that you look at people differently. You'll begin to have conversations differently. So next, Paul tells us to have our feet ready with the gospel of peace, and that's where this comes in. When Elizabeth first made the change to spread peace to her family, they did not know how to receive it. And if you watch the movie, she fixes dinner for her husband and is so pleasant, he kind of looks at her and thinks, he even switches their plate thinking, she is being way too nice. She must have something in that food. And then her daughter kind of tends to look at her like, Mom is about to lose her mind. What is going on? And sadly, sometimes that's how it is in our homes too. The place where we should go to find peace and rest and comfort from life is all too often the source of our grief and anger. I'd be willing to bet we all have either experienced peace or heard of someone experiencing peace through a complete stranger. I wish it was something that we got our peace from home, but sometimes you get peace from a complete stranger. It's amazing, but someone that we don't know at all has the power to completely turn our day around. A random act of kindness can go so far. I don't know if y'all remember the drive-through pay it forward thing that happened. I guess it's still somewhat popular, but at a McDonald's in Florida one day, the pay it forward thing went on for 6 hours. 250 customers paid it forward because they felt such peace and such happiness and joy that they pulled up to the window and somebody paid for them So they passed it on to the person behind them. So that's 250 drivers plus however many passengers they had in the car who were touched by peace. Then you imagine they get to work and they're happy and they smile and they hold the door for somebody. Boom, another example, and it just spreads like wildfire. That is such an awesome image. Spreading peace is so much easier than spreading hate. A smile to somebody you pass, holding the door for a stranger, genuinely asking, "How are you?" and then listening for the answer. There are millions of easy ways to spread peace to strangers and to the people in your home. Remember, just like you, we all want to find peace. The people that live with you, they desire the same thing you do. They're not against you. So every morning you wake up, every conversation you have with a loved one, you have two choices. You can spread peace and love, or you can spread anger and hatred. Do not underestimate the effect that you have on the people in your life. And that goes to our little kids too. When you have a bad attitude and you snap at your brother or sister or at your mom and your dad, you have the power to ruin their day. So choose your words wisely. Suit up with the shoes of peace each morning and allow Jesus to love others through you. And then Paul says the shield of faith can extinguish the arrows of the evil one. The lies, the insults, the accusations that Satan hurls at you, they hurt. You could see the hurt and the anger on Elizabeth's face as she was sitting there describing Tony. She had her arms crossed and that scowl on her face. Years of conflict with her spouse had left her hard and bitter toward him. Looking around the room, I see people who are like Elizabeth. You're sitting here angry, broken, and hungry, and you do a really good job of covering it up on Sunday mornings. But sometimes you've got to step back and allow God to fight your battles for you. We have to decide how to take those arrows and throw them out. When somebody is mean to us, somebody says something vicious or untrue, it's hard to look at them and just let the words roll off. Words do hurt. I totally agree with that. However, instead of rolling over and playing dead, allowing that person's words to control the rest of our lives, we have to have faith that allows us to take control from Satan and give it to God. This shield is one we really have to work at picking up. Being the better person in an argument is one thing, but then to get home and to choose to give those words back to God, instead of sitting there and replaying that conversation and getting angrier, that's hard. However, again, I speak from example, it is much easier when you get out of the way and you let God fight that battle for you. Find an accountability partner like I did that you can talk through your emotions with. Get a journal, write out the prayers, but always, always, always pray. There have been times when I prayed, I was so hurt. I prayed, "God, I don't even have the words to tell you how hurt I am right now." And I just got quiet. And I let Jesus pray for me. And that was when I heard his voice. That was when I heard him whisper, "I have this." And I was able to just let it go. Like the others, the helmet of salvation, the last piece of armor we have, is meant to protect our brains because we have very limited human understanding. Through salvation, we obtain the knowledge of God. And we've been talking in Sunday school with the youth. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. It doesn't matter what job you have, your social standing, if you were born into a royal family or not. Every single one of us have the power of the knowledge of God. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. That is something that we should not take for granted. And that's where I hear Miss Clara getting all worked up with Elizabeth. She says, once we have that knowledge, we are to pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer rooted in the Word of God can move mountains. It can separate oceans. It can bring entire kingdoms crumbling down. And it certainly can and will change your life. We watched this play out in the Jordan family in the movie, and I promise the exact same thing can happen in your family too. I want you to remember a key piece to all that Elizabeth did to make this work. She had to realize that the only power she had was to control herself. She couldn't control Tony. She couldn't even control her daughter. She could only make changes in her life and then get out of the way and let God take care of Tony and let God take care of her daughter. That was when the positive changes started happening. And there is so much power in that. The power to fight the enemy instead of each other. The power to change the way that we see each other, the way that we speak to each other. The power to change the way that we see ourselves, the way that we treat ourselves and carry ourselves, all rest here. So I dare you to suit up with the full armor of God this week. This morning, you have already identified somebody in your life that you blame for your unhappiness. For some of you, it could be several people, and for others, it's your spouse. Some of you are actually just angry and fighting yourself. However, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your brother, it's not your boss. Today, I want you to clearly see the enemy that you have to fight. So don't just walk out of here today going back to fighting the battles in your life the way you have. Suit it up with the full armor of God. Go out and fight the enemy. Claim back what he claimed as victory over your life. Take back your heart. Take back your self-image. Take back your friendships. And take back your marriage and your homes. We are a small church with a big impact. Can you imagine the impact we would have if together we learned to fight the right way? Remember, the ripple effect starts with you. Amen.